Austin 316 says I just whipped your... Sit there and call yourself the gorilla, yet you hee-haw out here like a jackass.
What?
I said, shut up. You can kiss my ass.
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
What? And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold sets up.
Welcome back to the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. This week is episode 68, Game Over, and we're continuing our coverage of November of 2000. I'm Mike Prue, along with JV. JV, how you doing?
Doing well, man. Doing well. We got some interesting stuff ahead of us today. We're actually getting some wrestling matches.
Right, Stone Cold wrestling.
Yeah, like technical.
Right. Like, I thought he was done with that, but...
Yeah.
Coming back from this injury, he must feel a little good. And there's a couple of people in the company that can go, so he probably wanted them to like test his limits or something, you know? Yeah. And I'm speaking of Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle, who he's going to have a couple of matchups with, that solid matches that we're going to get to today.
Oh, I loved that one-on-one match that we're going to cover between him and Benoit.
Yeah. So good shit that we'll be covering here. We're going to be picking up from where we left off last week, in which we covered the Radicals' involvement in Austin's feud with Triple H. So Triple H basically has enlisted the Radicals to be like his henchmen at this time. And Triple H revealed himself as being, you know, the main guy behind the whole master plan. And so it's clear that Triple H is the heel now at this point, and he's got the Radicals with him. And this leads to their match, Austin and Triple H at Survivor Series.
Real quick, though. Yeah. Does this make Triple H the de facto leader of the Radicals?
No, I think it's just kind of an association between the two.
Yeah, okay. Like a hired guns almost.
Yeah.
Because it was funny when a couple episodes back when he mentioned, oh, I could find some people to team with him. I was expecting DX.
Well, he said that on an episode where he did end up teaming up with Road Dogg.
Oh, he did.
China.
Right. Oh, that's right. Yeah, all right. Because as I was watching this, I was like, wait, didn't he, like, are these the, did he use the Radicals then?
That would have been cool if that's how it actually went.
Yeah.
Like, tricking us into thinking, oh, yeah, DX, and then, no, it's these Radicals.
It's fucking Perry Saturn.
Yeah, him Saturn. So, like I said, we'll be picking up with Survivor Series, so we're jam-packed with actual matches. You know, it's been a long time since we've had an episode where it's just match after match with Austin. So Austin's feeling good, and he's working the ring for 2 weeks straight here in a match on SmackDown, Raw, pay-per-view. So his surgery must have went well for him to be doing all this work here now. So let's get into it, though, starting with Survivor Series from November 19th. 2000. It's live in Tampa, Florida. And the main event match is no holds barred match, no DQ match, Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Triple H. And this kicks off at 2 hours 16 minutes and goes to the end of the show, 2 hours 42 minutes. And what I found surprising as I was watching the entire pay-per-view is that there was not one Austin or Triple H appearance throughout the entire pay-per-view up until the match.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, there's usually some kind of interview segment in the middle of the show. Yeah. Kind of just let the audience remember, oh, yeah, that's the main event, and that's coming up later. Yeah.
And anytime Austin shows up, it usually gets the crowd going. So
right.
It makes for good TV when the crowd's kind of a little bit worked up and shit.
Yep. Well, they may have had a jam-packed card with not enough time to fit in.
Yep.
Backstage interviews and whatnot. So anyway, Triple H is going to head out there. He's got his theme music. It's altered version of his My Time theme, and I don't really like it that much.
Nah, I hear ya.
Yeah. So he's going to flip and flop. He actually goes back to the original version without the lyrics. So there's three versions of it. There's the original version, which was just the background And then the second one was with the lyrics, "My Time, It's My Time." And then the third one was a butchered version that doesn't have any lyrics, but it's also not the original. Triple H goes back to the original, though, immediately, because he probably realized that entrance sucks. I'm not going out to that.
Now he has, like, some of the best entrances.
Right, yeah. It's like hit after hit. Of course he's going to have the hit theme songs.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Motorhead. So anyway, let's continue on there. Austin walks down to the ring slowly. He takes his vest off, and he pegs off Triple H. So this is a little different, because Austin usually just run right in there. But he's taking his time, walking in slowly. Austin gets to the ring, and he starts throwing blows, and they go back and forth with each other. So this is going to be a brawl. This is going to be like one of those wrestling matches we were alluding to. Because Triple H is a different style wrestler at this point, too. Yep. He's not the technical wrestler that he was when he first came in as Hunter Hearst Helmsley. He's now bulky and just a brawler.
Brawler, yeah. Hard-hitting.
Yep. So Austin starts off with the bulk of the offense, the punching, the slamming. He goes taking Triple H's head and going from corner to corner with it, rakes his face on the ropes. Then Austin starts to focus on the lower back of Triple H. And JR puts over that Triple H has been coming off, he's just been coming off of a lower back injury. So good storytelling. Makes sense. And it's always good for JR to help tell that story. So Austin kicks Triple H out of the ring, and they make their way up to the entrance ramp. Or they actually, they don't have a ramp here at the pay-per-view. It's just the just a flat level surface. So they head up the entryway, which is, it's like Austin 101 for his brawling matches, is that he's going to head up back to the entrance area, and they're going to brawl there for a moment and go back. JR calls it No Man's Land is where they're going into. I don't know exactly what he means by that. I know in like a war zone, it's the area between the two battlefields where you could be picked off by somebody, you know, in No Man's Land. I don't think that really applies here. This is you're not going to get picked off in the entryway. So anyways, they're going at it back there. Triple H makes a comeback near the entrance set, and Austin tries to hit Triple H with a set piece, a giant metal set piece. Triple H throws Austin into the TV tech area, and they're making their way to the backstage area. And JR gives us a little heads up here, a little reminder that, oh, the Radicals are probably waiting backstage right there. So don't go back there, Austin. Don't get lured into there because it's a setup. Austin fights back, and they leave that area. So JR is setting up that, oh, later, you know, if they find their way back there, you know what's over there. So Austin avoids going to the backstage area, and Austin goes to the aisleway, hits suplex on Triple H. Triple H tries to block it, and then reverses it, hits Austin onto the floor.
His leg. He does like that leg counter.
Right.
That looks stiff, that suplex on that floor.
It did. I don't know how.
I think JR is like, oh, it's the, he lays right in the concrete. I mean, I don't think it's actually, I think there's like a very thin black pad there.
Maybe
it was black, or just a carpet. Concrete. Yeah, but the way it hit it, it looked like it was like a thud.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal at that point. And this is only just a few minutes into the match.
Yeah.
All right, so after that, Triple H leads Austin back to the ringside area. He smashes him on the steps a couple times, then onto the announce table. Austin makes his comeback, slams Triple H into the steel steps, whips Triple H into the timekeeper's table. Then Austin whacks Triple H with the monitor from the announce table.
Those fucking tank monitors.
Yeah, those with such sharp edges, too.
Like, yeah,
I don't know how they're not getting busted open every time, like someone gets put through a table, you know, how their back's not all cut up, you know.
And even in 2020, for some reason, those things are still hanging around.
Right. I think this may be slightly different than they were then. But yeah, they still.
Like they should just be like thin monitors, like computer monitors now.
Yeah. All right, so I thought, at this spot, when they're at this timekeeper's table, it reminded me of WrestleMania 13 when Austin and Brett end up near the timekeeper table, and that's where they do the little blade job that they weren't supposed to do. And it looked identical to the spot, so I was like, oh shit, is Austin gonna blade right here and So I have to get some blood.
Triple H bleeds, right? Right? Over at this part?
No, I don't think it comes just yet. Because that's what I was looking for. I was like, all right, who's going to bleed? And it just didn't come. But
okay.
But it reminded me of that spot. So Austin is going to... This is great. This is probably an oh hell yeah moment right here. Is that after Austin whacks Triple H with the monitor, he then smashes him with this cooler. And then, not even that, he takes out the beer, he cracks open the beer, and then he sits down for a second on the steel step, on the steps, and drinks a huge gulp of beer. I just thought that was cool right in the middle of it. You know, kind of like the spot where The Rock had the camera. You know, just something kind of different. The Rock had the camera, and then Austin pegged him off and stunned him with the camera. It was kind of akin to that, where you have Austin taking a little break and, yeah, I'm going to sit here on the steel steps. I just kicked your ass and drink this beer here.
So Austin he yell to, like, wipe that shit up or something to somebody?
Does he? I didn't. Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah. Yep.
Like, he's so in control right now. It's fucking
right.
It's awesome.
So Austin finishes that beer, and then he smashes the can on Triple H's head, which is even better. Then Austin drinks another beer. And he sets it on the announce table, and then it even slams Triple H's head into it, like crushing the can with Triple H's head. And then he goes from there, he slams him on the steel steps. Austin's basically fucking up Triple H, like JV just mentioned there. Austin grabs the ring bell. You think it's going to be used, but it doesn't get used right away. Maybe it'll come into play later, or one of those type of scenarios. So Triple H attacks Austin. When they get back into the ring with the bell is left on the ring apron. You think that it's going to stay there, like at WrestleMania 13, where it's used later. And they just place it there at one point.
Yeah, like foreshadowing the use right. or something.
Yep. But that didn't happen either, because a referee takes the bell, or somebody at ringside takes the bell and puts it back. So, and then it's going to be used later. So I think it was supposed to stay there, but somebody took it. Triple H attacks Austin when they get back in the ring with that bell, like I said, and Austin goes on from there. He's going to he's going to go for a stunner at that point, but Triple H reverses it into a neck breaker. I thought that was pretty cool, and you know, as I've gone forward, as we'll get to, we see that Triple H is starting to use the neck breaker more, like kind of a Rude Awakening style neck breaker, and it looked pretty cool here. Triple H's offense begins at this point, and he has a few pinfall attempts. And when I saw that, I was thinking, finally, there hasn't been one cover to win this match at this point. They're just going at it, which makes sense with the story. Austin should be so pissed at this guy.
And they're like, well, almost like 20 minutes into the match at this point.
Yeah.
Not 20, maybe 15.
Let's see.
Which is like average match length, and they still haven't tried for a...
Yeah. I think it's about 12 minutes in at this point.
Jeez.
Austin hits a spine buster. He goes for an elbow drop. He says, fuck you. But then he misses the elbow drop. Triple H starts to work on Austin in the corner, and then back out on the ringside area. Triple H gets that ring bell. He tosses it back into the ring. So again, that made me think that it was supposed to stay in the ring. It was supposed to stay on the edge of the ring there. So Triple H realized, it's not here anymore. I got to go fucking get it again. So Triple H then sets up for a pedigree on a steel steps. Austin back body drops him onto the announce booth. That was an awesome spot. Just flips him back, and that's at 2 hours, 33 minutes. So at this point, about 16 minutes into the match. Austin proceeds to slam Triple H into the table. Then tosses him back into the ring, then stomps a fucking mud hole in his ass. And Austin pegs him off, nails him with a Stone Cold Stunner. That's at 2 hours, 35 minutes, so approaching 20 minutes into this match. But Austin is not going to go for a cover. What he does is he goes back into his memory of his brutal moves. He goes for a steel chair, and he's going to set up Triple H for a Pillmanizer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That was the name of that, Pillmanizer. Yeah.
Pillmanizer. I don't even know if it's officially that, but it's become the name. The Pillmanize somebody. I think it was definitely mentioned at one point on WWF TV.
Yeah, the crowd goes nuts at this part. From what I'm mistaken, like they're fucking. I mean, they're kind of loud the whole match, but here seems like they kind of really like hit like that next tier,
right,
of excitement.
So he goes for it, but Earl Hebner, of course, is gonna talk him out of it, get all pissy, and it's like, dude, no DQ, no DQ match, fuck off. So Austin listens, but Austin doesn't really listen. So Austin said, okay, I won't do that. But then Austin puts the chair around Triple H's neck. Austin goes to the top rope, but Triple H is able to roll out of the ring because Austin took too long. And then the fight's off to the backstage area again. Triple H is out of the ring. Austin follows. And they're heading back to where they were about 20 minutes ago. And I'm thinking immediately, all right, this is the radical spot now. it's gonna be time for them to make their appearance. And that's exactly what happens. The Radicals beat up Austin. Triple H begins to walk away. All the officials show up to try to break things up. Triple H gets into his town car. Austin chases Benoit out of the arena. So, match essentially over at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not for anything. None of them are the champ or anything. So, it's just a grudge match, basically. So, this is where things start to get shitty. So, that, all the way up to that point, enjoyable match. You know, good brawl. But now things are going to get kind of goofy. So, Triple H is out in his car. He's driving off. And Benoit, who's been doing the brunt of the fighting with Austin at this point backstage. And he runs out. Austin runs out. Benoit gives foul. Austin is apparently gone. He's missing now. Like, where is he? And Triple H is mic'd up. So, it's just so apparent that he has a mic on. You know? Or it was just produced like earlier in the day. You know, it was a pre-produced thing or something. You know? I kind of get a sense of maybe it was because of the stunts that are going to be in here.
That's a good point. I didn't think of that, but I guess it is possible.
Right, because what do you think? Like, you're going to have this kind of match for about 20, 25 minutes, and then you're going to try to pull off a stunt like that?
Yeah, they're not that good. Yeah, exactly.
So they probably did it earlier, and then once they got backstage, that was it. You know, they didn't do anything else after that.
It was like that the new cinematic shit before.
Yeah.
Cinematic, like we just saw at WrestleMania.
Yeah, the Boneyard match.
Because as I was watching the end of this match, which you're getting into now, it kind of reminded me a little bit of. I'm like, this is like a precursor to the years from now.
Right, it really is. And they've done it a lot, though. So
yeah,
we just don't really think of it because it's usually mixed with, you know, a little bit more wrestling in the ring and not just totally
right
like a movie, you know. But yeah, they're making little movies here. And that's what Vince McMahon always says, all right? We make movies in the WWF. So. Here's one of the little movie segments here. So, Triple H is yelling for Benoit to find him. And Austin is nowhere in sight. So, Triple H is talking to himself soap opera style. He's like, come on, get him, Benoit. Get him. I know he's out here. Come on. Come on. He's here somewhere. Where is he? And then he's like, where is he, Benoit? And then Benoit yells, I don't know! And then he just starts booking it, and his legs look so tiny when he's running.
Yeah, he was a very awkwardly built individual.
It was his jacked torso and then little legs.
Yeah, and then he's huge running traps, no neck. He just like he looked weird.
It's so funny though. What was it? Austin that said it, or was it The Rock? It's in a midget head on a. Giant on a normal size body. I think it's
Stone Cold.
Was it Stone
Cold? Oh, no, Stone Cold calls him Snaggletooth.
Yeah.
The Rock calls him. Yeah.
Midget head on a regular sized body. Even, but it's not even, though. He's got like a man sized chest.
Yeah.
Midget head, and then maybe like even midget legs.
Yeah. It's like how I draw a jacked person. Like, if that's how I draw.
Yeah, right.
Just the drawer Jack guy look right. Like. My art is so bad in my like perception of
you worry about like the chest so much to make him look Jack. Then you get the little legs.
Like, oh, I fucked up his legs. I can't draw feet either, so those look weird now too.
Yeah, the feet are just like off to the side, like one's going one way, the other's going the other way.
Yeah, exactly.
like people stand like that with their fucking feet spread out. So anyway, so we got that. I don't know. Which is a hilarious line because it's just so abrupt and it's so awkward. So Benoit goes in there, and now it's just Triple H out in his car. Triple H gets out of the car. He calls for Austin. Triple H gets back into the car, and then Austin appears in a freaking giant forklift, not just a normal size forklift like you're moving some boxes. This thing's like you're gonna move a fucking building. It's huge, and then Austin just puts the fork right underneath the car, lifts up the car. Triple H is screaming, "Don't do it, Austin! Don't do it! This is something you're gonna regret." Yeah, but the car gets way the fuck up there.
Yeah, it does.
Like holy shit, it's
like amusement park height.
Right? Yeah, like the top of a Ferris wheel or something. So then Austin just tips it. He tips the forklift. And the car comes crashing down and lands on its top. And you hear Triple H screaming, "Holy shit!" And it crashes.
All scared.
He would have been dead.
Yeah.
Triple H would have been dead here. There's no way you would have survived that if you land flat down like that. So, Triple H apparently dead right now. We don't know. So the car is fucked up. He would have been in there crushed. And JR yells as the show goes off the air, "It's the Rattlesnake's revenge." So that's how Survivor Series ends. Being that it is a pay-per-view, we have to give our skull rating. And what do you give it?
I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
So I gotta say, considering it's not a title match or anything, I'd give it 3.5 skulls.
Yeah. Yeah, I go 3.5. Also, enjoyable. Lengthy, which was good because Austin hadn't done any lengthy matches yet in over a year at that point. So, yeah, it was good to see him.
It was lengthy and, like, well-paced. Just, you know, hey, started outside the ring, tried to work their way to the back, worked their way back into the ring, and worked their way back outside, back into the ring, back outside the ring. Just a good pace.
Right. Yeah, so enjoyable match.
It was a vicious match, too.
Yes.
It was very, like, vicious.
As it should be.
What you want a grudge match to be. Like, these guys aren't fighting over a belt or anything. They are fighting because one guy tried to kill the other guy, basically.
Yeah, right. And Austin, he went out there to kill Triple H.
Yeah. He's out here to murder.
And it looks like it may have happened. But we'll find out when we get to Raw. So let's move on to Raw 391 from the next night, November 20th, 2000. This is live in Orlando, Florida. And it's going to start off with Stephanie McMahon, who's been off TV for a little while because, you know, the story was that she was sick and she was sent home by Triple H a few weeks back so that he could screw with Kurt Angle. And she's back. So Stephanie says it's a miracle that her husband is alive, and what Stone Cold did to Triple H with that forklift is just unbelievable and horrifying. She goes on to say that Triple H didn't suffer any broken bones. What the fuck? He didn't suffer any broken bones. Okay. But he did have severe lacerations and mental trauma from what happened. And Triple H will be under medical care for the next few days, so we're to not expect Triple H to be around until maybe beyond Thanksgiving, she says. So the crowd's chanting for Austin, and
this segment's brutal.
Yeah.
I hit the, you know how you can fast forward 10 seconds?
Yeah.
Kept I did doing it
that.
A lot.
Kept doing it until Austin goes up.
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, all right, Mike's got this. Yeah. Two of us don't need to suffer through this. It was just so bad. It was like Steph obviously grows into like a much better.
Yeah, not that much better, screen, but better. Yeah.
But better.
Yeah.
And this just
it's horrible. And that's why the crowd is just Austin, Austin.
Cause, like, the fact that I ever let her on TV again is just like really like surprising.
Fucking McMahon's.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're gonna force it upon you until you just accept it. So Stephanie says that this rivalry with Austin and Triple H needs to end. Seth says that Triple H regrets what he's done in the past and Stone Cold Steve Austin, to Stone Cold Steve Austin and to all the fans. He apologizes. The crowd chants boring at that point. Stephanie says that her and Triple H have been trying to have a baby for the past few weeks. Who gives a fuck? Stephanie wants Austin to come out and accept their apology on behalf of their future family. All right, so Austin's going to come out, and let's take a listen to what he has to say to Stephanie. It's pretty good.
Look at it. You know, you come out here, and you're talking about miracles. Honey, let me tell you what a miracle is. A miracle is the fact that I don't give you a Stone Cold Stunner right here, right now, for being so full of crap. Andrea, you come out here, apologize about this, apologize about that. Hey, I got some apologies I want to make, too. Now, I ain't going to say I'm sorry for raising Triple H 40 feet up in the air and dropping him on his head, because I enjoyed every second of it.
See there? He's sick. He enjoyed it.
What I am sorry about is the fact that I didn't scoop that car up again and drop that sumbitch as many times as it took to get the job done. Hell, I'm sorry about the fact that he's laying in the hospital bed right now instead of down there at the county morgue.
Did you hear that?
That's pretty heavy.
I'm sorry right now. I got to smell your stinking breath, and you should be out at the funeral home picking up a casket.
How could he possibly say something like that to that lovely young lady?
You got the nerve to ask me to accept Triple H's apology. You got the nerve to ask Stone Cold Steve Austin that. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Look at those tears.
I'm going to give you a little message to take back to Triple H. I'm going to... No.
Uh-oh.
I could give you a message to take back to Triple H, but I know that some bitch is in a hospital bed with a TV right there in front of him. So, Hunter, look at your little TV screen. Does Stone Cold accept your apology? That's what I think about your little apology. And you know, what really gets me sick to my stomach, I hear you come out here and you flap your gums about having a baby with Triple H.
That is a beautiful thought.
I regret the day that comes around when I drive up to the hospital on that day to offer my condolences, roll over and look at that little incubator thing. Look down there and see a 15-pound nose so full of manure they can't keep enough diapers on the little bastard.
Man, is this rattlesnake wound up here tonight? This is always crushing, Stephanie.
Say that?
Shut up! You look me in my eyes, and you go back here, and you get your ass out of this ring, and you tell Triple H that it ain't over. It ain't over by a long shot between Triple H and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Good God, Steve. Come on. Way over the line. This is awful. Austin totally wound up here. Stephanie is crushed. He's been... Look at this. This is terrible. Austin finishing Stephanie from the ring. And, I mean... I can understand Austin's animosity towards Triple H, but I think...
All right, Austin heads out to the ring. He grabs a mic right away. Austin says, you know, Stephanie is out there talking about miracles. It's a miracle. You know, it's a miracle that I don't give you a Stone Cold Stunner because you're so full of crap.
Right away, the sound got that much better.
No, exactly.
Within like a minute.
Because that's what it just sounded like, a load of crap. There's no way that Triple H is forgiving anybody, so shut the hell up. I should give you a stunner. Austin says he's not going to apologize for dropping Triple H because he enjoyed every minute of it. The only thing he is sorry about, though, is that he didn't lift him up and drop him over and over again to make sure he got the job done. So Austin's admitting to attempted murder. That was his intention, to murder Triple H. Austin says he's sorry that he's in the hospital and not in the county morgue. Austin's sorry that he has to smell her stinky breath when she should be picking out a casket for Triple H. Her stinky breath. What a thing to say to a woman. Hey, get your stinky breath out of my face. Then he goes on.
That definitely doesn't go over well with women. Stinky anything.
Yeah. Austin continues. You got the nerve to ask me to accept Triple H's apology. I'm going to give you a little message to take back to him. And then he reconsiders there and he says, actually, I don't need you to send the message. Hunter, I know you're in the hospital. Look at your little TV screen. Austin gets right into the camera. Stone Cold, accept your little apology. And then fucking gives the middle finger right to the camera. Fucking great visual. That's what I think about your little apology, says Austin. Moves on to talk about the baby. Austin talks shit about their future baby. He says, shut up, woman. Look at me. You get your ass out of here. And you tell Triple H it ain't over. It ain't over by a long shot. And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Shut up, woman.
Yeah, shut up, woman. Go get the hell out of here. And he talks shit about Triple H's future babies. Which, you know, at this time it's just a storyline, but they go on to have kids.
Yeah, they do.
So Stephanie runs away crying, and then Chris Benoit's music hits. He heads out to the ramp. And let's take a listen to the exchange between Stone Cold and Chris Benoit.
The leader of the Radicals is Benoit. And it looks like he wants to have a word with the Rattlesnake.
You know, for someone that claims to be the toughest SOB in the World Wrestling Federation, I don't see a hell of a lot of wrestling. Sure, you've proven to everyone that you're damn good with a forklift.
Yeah, he's that all right. Giving him a little round of applause. I don't think it's a very good idea for Benoit.
And yeah, you might be pretty good with a stunner or two. But you know what, Steve? I have been toe-to-toe with you. And I am not impressed. So I wonder just how well you'd fare in an actual wrestling match. You do know what that is, Steve. Wrestling, the business that we're in. One man versus another. No monster trucks, no chef hats, no forklifts, no. Steve, just wrestling. And if you don't, why don't you step into the ring tonight and let me teach you? Because when you step into the ring with the best damn technical wrestler in the entire industry, you will leave knowing that there is no way you will ever prove me wrong, and that is just the way it is.
Benoit's calling Austin out. Here's a challenge for you, Rattlesnake.
Well, then allow me to rebut. You know, I hear everybody flapping their gums every week about how Chris Benoit is the greatest technical wrestler in the history of the World Wrestling Federation. I think that's just fine and dandy, because hell, Stone Cold Steve Austin probably ain't even in the top 5, 10, whatever.
That's
but
you every week
the last
that.
Time I did check the rankings, technically Stone Cold Steve Austin was the number one rated beer drinker in the history of the World Wrestling Federation.
You got that right.
But let me go to public opinion on this deal. If you want to see me give this snaggle to son of a bitch a Stone Cold wrestling lesson, give me a hell yeah.
Austin,
all right,
well
you dumb bastard, you got your back.
He's too wound up for his own good. I think we might need a recount on that belt. I don't think there's going to be a recount whatsoever. I think Austin, he is wound tighter than a $3 watch. Oh my gosh. So it's going to be Austin and Chris Benoit, the Rattlesnake and the Wolverine, going to get it on live here tonight. Already drinking on the job. This is not going to be a pretty sight. But don't forget that the Rock and Y2J meet Rick
Rikishi and Kane. And,
oh, hey, look at this. She is absolutely heartbroken.
Go, please, go.
Austin and Benoit have a war with a rattlesnake. I think we're too far with Stephanie.
All right, so Benoit talks about how he doesn't see a whole lot of wrestling from the best wrestler in the WWF. That's like, hey, good point. You know, we know Austin is the brawler now, and he's not really wrestling much. So Chris Benoit is kind of putting it out there that, hey, I'm the best wrestler. And, you know, this isn't just all about monster trucks, forklifts. So,
you're like, yeah, I can still go to the mat. Yeah. If you want to go there, it's basically what he's saying.
Right. So Benoit's saying, you might be good with a forklift, you might be even good with the stunner, but I'm challenging you to a wrestling match. Austin says Benoit may be the greatest technical wrestler, and he himself might not even be in the top 5 or 10, but he's the number one rated beer drinker in the history of the WWF. Good little line there. So Austin accepts his challenge. He says, if you want to see me give this snaggletooth son of a bitch a Stone Cold wrestling lesson, give me a hell yeah. So Austin accepts it, and we see also Stephanie leaving and getting into a limo to leave the place. So later in the show, the main event, we're going to get a hell of a match between Stone Cold Steve Austin and Chris Benoit. Match kicks off at 1 hour and 25 minutes into the show, and it'll go the rest of the duration, 10 minutes, 1 hour 35 minutes. So Austin immediately gets Benoit into a waist lock takedown and then pegs him off. And I thought that was badass. Because it's like, hey, I know how to do this shit. Which we all know. You know, and all you listeners know from all our discussions is that Stone Cold Steve Austin.
When we started this journey.
Right. You know, a hell of a.
You've been following us, you know that.
Right. He's a hell of a technical wrestler, but had to adjust because of his injuries. And it looks like, you know, he's giving it a shot again. I mean, a lot of his stories were just to be brawls anyway. So in this situation, you're having the best technical wrestler challenge him to a match. So it gives a reason for Austin to wrestle that way. Whereas most times it would be just a brawl with Mick Foley, a brawl with Triple H, you know, a lot different. There's not a lot of Bret Harts around anymore at this point. So now you have Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, Austin, maybe try to put on a wrestling-style match. And that's what we get here. So Austin's right back into wrestling mode. He gives an arm drag takedown. JR does a great job putting over that Austin does have technical skills. And Austin puts an arm bar onto Benoit. Benoit finally counters. Austin holds with a side suplex. Benoit hits a backbreaker and gets a two count. Benoit starts to work Austin in the corner. Austin goes for a body slam. And Benoit counters it with a lateral press for a two count. Benoit hits a snap suplex. Austin lures Benoit to the corner post. And Austin attempts to pull Benoit's legs to crush the groin, which is a move that he often did in the past, you know, especially in those Bret Hart matches. But Benoit is going to counter and pull Austin into the corner post, which slams Austin's head into the steel step. I thought he was maybe going to get busted open here, but he didn't. Benoit hits a flying headbutt into Austin's lower back. Benoit gets a two count there. And moments later, Austin starts to fight back, gets a sleeper hold on Benoit, and then he follows that up with a spine buster. They're both down on the ground at this point, and as they both get up, they exchange a whip to the rope, and Austin lands the Luthez press. The crowd fucking blows up at that point in the match when Austin finally hits that Luthez press. It's almost like the audience that's watching Austin at this point has never seen him do any of that wrestling stuff that he was doing for the first 5 minutes.
They didn't like it.
And then when he does his patented Luthez press, like, ah, there's Austin.
Yeah, it's like, why the fuck is he mat wrestling? This sucks. Right. Give him a beer.
So the crowd's nuts there. Benoit reverses the press and rolls Austin for a pin. So that was a nice little counter after Austin gets on the hits the Luthez press. Benoit basically puts his legs up and flips him. Austin counters that, goes for a pin on Benoit. Benoit escapes by reversing the pin into a crippled crossface. So now Benoit's got his signature move on Austin right there in the middle of the ring. But Austin's going to creep gradually, which I love in a wrestling match, for that whole part where you got the guy, the baby face, almost down and out, but reaching for the ropes and finally gets to the ropes. You know, that's just classic wrestling. You don't see that in all these fucking brawl style matches.
Nope.
Builds good drama. Benoit continues to attack Austin. He slams Austin into the corner post. This is followed by two belly-to-back suplexes. Austin elbows out of the waist lock. They punch back and forth. Benoit goes for a clothesline. Austin ducks it, kicks Benoit in the gut, nails the Stone Cold Stunner, and wins the wrestling match. Hell yeah. Good match.
I thought so. I really, really liked this match.
Yeah. It's just good to see an actual match.
Yeah. An actual, I mean, you could match. See early on, like, the up downs from, not the, I would say the up and downs from being on the mat, getting up, being on the mat, getting up, even like just a few minutes into the match, you can just kind of see it in Steve's knees and Stone Cold's knees with just like the,
right.
I don't know. I just noticed one part. I think it was after like a suplex maybe, but he just kind of gets up and both his legs are spread out wide and he's not like bending his knees. He's almost just like going side to side, like when you got a shit or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, he does it for like a quick, like, couple seconds. I'm like oh,
yeah, he's feeling it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why he doesn't continue to have these style of matches. If he does, the length of it's no more than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And 15 minutes, that's it. He's not going a half hour doing that kind of wrestling. And we'll see it later in the show with the Kurt Angle match, is that he's going to start off like that. But even like halfway through the match, he switches back to brawling. But it's still nice to see there. So Austin celebrates in the ring. He cracks a couple beers open. And I like Jerry Lawler's line, because Austin's favorite beer is his next one.
That's a great line.
That's such a good line. So we move on from there. So we got a great wrestling match there. And, you know, for the hell of it, since we're getting good matches, let's give this one a skull rating too. What do you think of this? I mean, it's brief.
Very solid 3 skulls.
Yeah. Yeah, I go solid 3, maybe even 3.5, because of just how good the wrestling was from both guys. It was quick, you know, 10 minutes, 10, 11 minute match. And nice to see Austin win too. You know, even though, Chris Benoit has no right winning that match. Austin's just come back and he needs to get over on some people and show his wrestling skills. So I think
that helped. Perfect. I mean, you got the self-proclaimed best technical wrestler in the world putting a challenge out.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's not a style that Stone Cold practices in his workouts.
Right.
So a lot of that, I'm sure, was just like memory.
Right. Just getting right back into the groove.
Yeah.
Yeah, and having somebody like Benoit to work with makes it a lot easier, because the other guy can kind of help you.
Yeah, that's what all his matches are, basically.
Yeah. So, good match there, yeah. 3.5. I'll stick with 3.5. Actually, no, I can't, because the length. I have to take away the half. Nice raw match, though. For a TV match, we don't usually get a nice clean match like that, too. Austin wins clean. And the show's over. No bullshit after. That's it. But Chris Benoit now, he's going to not be so happy, because he's kind of embarrassed. He challenged Austin, who's just being known as this brawler wrestler. And he went toe-to-toe with Austin in a wrestling match and lost. Albeit to the stunner at the end, but he kept up with him throughout the match. Yep. And Benoit didn't pin him. I'll make him submit.
I mean, he got him in the cripple crossface. So.
Hey, he found his way out of it. So Benoit is going to be kind of embarrassed and not happy with that. And that's going to go on to the next show, which is SmackDown 66 from November 23rd, which is taped on November 21st. This is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We're going to get a match. Okay, it's going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin teaming up with Chris Jericho to go up against Chris Benoit and Kane. All right, so Chris Jericho and Kane have been on in an ongoing feud about coffee, hot coffee. Chris Jericho spilled hot coffee onto Kane, and Kane lost his mind and is jealous of how good-looking Chris Jericho is and how ugly he is. So that's what's going on there. They have a match at Survivor Series just the weekend prior to this, and we'll cover that briefly in the Attitude Era update in the second half of the show. But let's get to this main event here on SmackDown. It's kicking off at 1 hour and 18 minutes into the show. At the top of the show, the match was already made, so there's no promo that builds up to this match. Basically, when the show starts, the announcers say, oh, we're going to have Stone Cold Steve Austin and Chris Jericho versus Chris Benoit and Kane. So, no promos, just simply announce that Mick Foley's made this match for the night. So, Chris Jericho and Benoit are going to start the match. Benoit is staring at Austin. He's pissed that he lost the technical match to Austin. So, he's hoping that Austin's in the ring with him. But he starts off with Jericho. Austin does get tagged in, though, a few moments later. And then Benoit and Austin lock up again. Austin is taken down into a drop toe hold. They counter each other. Benoit wags his finger and is like, not tonight, not tonight. And they exchange a few more holds. Austin hits a spine buster on Benoit. Kane tags himself in and slots the hammer on Austin. So Benoit's dicked off that he has to leave the ring because Kane slapped himself in, which is bullshit. If the guy in the ring doesn't tag you in, then you shouldn't be coming in the ring. Like, it should be initiated by the person, the legal man.
I agree.
Now, because if you're the wrestler, you want to get out because you need help or you're tired. And now,
yeah, you should
now
you're all tag yourself in.
Right.
You tag out.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So that's just one little stupid gripe. And also it's a back slap too. So it's not even like you tag the hand. It's like, the fuck. So Kane anyways in there. Austin's going to counter Kane real quickly. Kane goes for a big boot. Austin fucking grabs the boot. brings him down and starts working on his leg. It's a series of elbow drops. Nails the Luthez press. Hits that follow-up elbow. And then Austin tags in Jericho. And I was watching this match, and I say this all the time when Austin's in tag matches. He goes right back into tag team mode. Just like you were saying with technical wrestling, he just goes muscle memory, basically. And he's just like right back into it. He does the same thing here in tag team matches. When I was watching Austin and Jericho, I was like, hey, this is like the new fucking Hollywood Blondes right here. Except Austin's bald now. Same kind of style, so it reminded me of Hollywood Blondes. So Benoit is going to work on Jericho with a few suplexes. Kane is back in with Jericho. Jericho is trying to get to Austin at this point, so Kane smacks Austin. And Kane climbs to the top rope, hits the flying clothesline. Austin breaks the count by pulling Kane's leg. So he interrupts the count there. Kane tags in Benoit. Jericho goes to tag Austin. This part kind of annoyed me, but let me just explain it. Jericho goes to tag Austin. The ref's back is turned. Austin gets in the ring to kind of like cheat a little bit to get closer to Jericho. So he gets in the ring and then tags Jericho's hand. Then Mike Chioda's back is turned, so he doesn't see it. But then Kane like points at him like they were cheating, and then immediately Mike Chioda gets in the way of Austin, starts blocking him from getting further in the ring.
Which was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like, what? You didn't see it? I mean, I guess that's why. If you didn't see it, then you're not going to allow it. I guess. I mean, I guess that makes sense.
But he didn't hear it? Like,
right. But then to block him, too. It's like Earl Hebner. Like Kyoto learned from Earl Hebner.
It is our Earl Hebner move. Yeah. We pulled that out of the Earl Hebner playbook.
Right. Right, so meanwhile, Jericho's getting double-teamed at that point. And that's the one thing that, you know, builds the heat, basically, is that you're getting I'm getting pissed at the ref because Austin can't come in, but meanwhile, Jericho's getting double-teamed. So it's meant to be that way, but still don't like it. Austin's fed up, runs around the ref. Finally, he attacks Kane. Mike Chioda fucking grabs Austin by the waist to move him back to the corner. Like, come on, give it a break. Gonna freaking wrap your arms around his waist now.
Let
like,
it go, dude.
Right. Stop. So Austin does exactly what he should. He kicks the ref. And then he stuns his ass. So that's basically the end of the match. So, like I was saying, it built heat. It did work. It worked me. Got me pissed at the ref. But then when Austin hits the stunner, it's like, okay, yeah, cool. He deserved it. So that was the whole point of it.
That was the payoff, I think.
Right. Yeah, so that was the whole purpose of Kyoto acting like a dickhead, is to get to the DQ. So, that makes sense. So, not quite Earl, because Earl shit doesn't make sense. Usually. Austin, from there, the match is over at this point. Austin closed by Kane out of the ring. Austin stuns Benoit. Kane grabs Austin by the neck. Jericho does a fucking flying drop kick into Kane from the top rope. And Austin stuns Kane. Gets the hell out of there. Jericho hits a lion salt on Kane. Austin cracks his bears. That closes out the show. So another decent match. It's a tag match, so Austin probably wanted a little break. It's like, hey, I just had this match with Benoit. Take it easy on me the next night. Put me in a tag match.
A technical match. A style of match he's not used to yet. And
right.
Like, yeah, like, let me hang out outside for a little bit. But
right.
Let the fans see me.
Yep. So from there, we go to Raw now. Raw 392, which is November 27th, 2000. This is live at Iowa State University. That's all they put. They don't put the town, which is Ames, Iowa. I guess they didn't like the name Ames, Iowa. Sound like bumfuck. So they put Iowa State University on the graphic instead.
Yep, sounds like Vince.
Yep. So the show's going to kick off with a promo by Kurt Angle that I'll kind of sum up here. Kurt Angle complains that The Undertaker does bad things like choke slamming him. Triple H is the mastermind of the attack on Austin. Austin drops Triple H with a forklift. Austin stunned the referee on SmackDown. Angle says that, you know, in any other sport, that would be a scandal to hit a referee. But in the WWF, it's just another day at work. And he's sick of it. And it's hurting his integrity. Angle says he's a wrestler first and foremost before he's a sports entertainer. He's got the gold medals to prove it. Angle brings up how they are on their way to the next pay-per-view, which is Armageddon in December. He says he will take his title and go home if things don't get better around here. So Mick Foley and Deborah head to the ring. Mick agrees that violence to the ref needs to stop. Mick questions his integrity and how Stephanie interferes in all his damn matches. Kurt Angle argues that Stephanie hasn't even been here in a month, and I'm still champion. Now Mick gives him gives Rikishi a number one contenders match against The Rock, and whoever wins that match, The Rock, Rikishi, will face Kurt Angle at Armageddon. And Mick also announces that there will be a title match for Kurt Angle later in the show. So he will defend this title. So throughout the night, Kurt Angle is backstage in a series of segments. Kurt Angle goes in. He's now associated with Edge and Christian pretty much all the time. So they're like kissing up to him. And Kurt's pissed that he has this title match. He doesn't know who it's going to be. They think it's going to be The Undertaker because that's the one that makes the most sense. He's just been in a feud with them. And now it's got to be him. So,
yeah. Yep. So they just had a match at Survivor Series, right?
Right. Yeah. So Kurt Angle finds Kane. And he starts working Kane up. Like, oh, your brother said this. Your brother did that. So he wants Kane pissed at The Undertaker so that Undertaker doesn't get a match with him. Kurt even invites Kane to Christmas and in the following year's Thanksgiving. You know, he says, oh, I bet your brother didn't even call you or invite you. So Kane gets all pissed off. So that essentially creates a Kane versus Undertaker match later in the show. So Kurt Angle thinks he's free now from having to defend this title. Kurt Angle also interferes in the number one contenders match between The Rock and Rikishi, which makes The Rock the number one contender, causes a DQ. Rock becomes the number one contender, so he kind of screwed himself there. And Mick Foley's pissed that Kurt Angle interfered, so Mick Foley's going to inform him, all right, well, you have a title match, and it's going to be against Stone Cold Steve Austin. So he's like, fuck.
Yeah, backfired.
Yeah. So, he also says, Mick Foley also says that if anyone interferes, Kurt Angle will lose the championship. Sometimes they need to make sure they don't say stupid things because it might not go through with it. They might not go through with it. So, keep that in mind. It's supposed to be if anyone interferes, Kurt Angle loses the title. All right, so just prior to the match, The Rock attacks Kurt Angle backstage and Edge and Christian right before the match starts as payback for Kurt Angle interrupting his match with Rikishi earlier. So now we get to this match. Kurt Angle versus Stone Cold Steve Austin for the WWF Championship. Kicks off at 1 hour 25 minutes, leaving about 11 minutes left in the show. So very similar to the last episode of Raw when it was Austin versus Benoit. He just has 10 minutes. So Austin, like I said at the top of the show, Austin's on a roll where he's having matches on every show, back to back. So cool, it's like he's back to normal. All right, and we're going to get a similar style match, at least in the start here, with Austin and Angle as we did with Austin and Benoit. So they begin with a lockup to start the match. Kurt Angle controls Austin with a waistlock takedown. And then Austin looks up at him like, yeah, okay, fucker. You're legit, basically.
It's we like, get it.
Yeah, it's like Angle's like, oh, yeah, you want to do this shit? And it's almost like he was shooting on him, too. Like,
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to fuck with you right now before we get this match going.
And even when the match is going, there almost seems like there were some instances where Kurt Angle seems resistant to the way Stone Cold, like, I don't know, there was like a, I don't even get into it, but when they do the, Austin's pounding his head in the turnbuckle to do a 10 count,
yeah.
It does not seem like they're on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. But a funny little spot there. So I think that was kind of like improv because right after he does that, and like I said, Austin looks up at him like, ah, fucker. Angle gets out of the ring, grabs his gold medal, and says, you don't have this, Stone Cold. And Austin pegs him off. Then they kind of like really start the match. They get back in the ring. They lock up. Austin does a side headlock takeover, which reverses back into a pin attempt by Angle. And that happens a couple times. And, you know, Austin's just back in the groove wrestling here. Angle's going to hit a side suplex on Austin, but Austin holds on. So he takes the side suplex, but he holds on to the headlock still, which was cool. And then Austin uses the fireman's carry takeover, and then they continue to work on the mat. Austin wrenches on an armbar on the mat. Angle turns it into a head scissors, which leads to them both bridging up. And I don't know if you noticed, but you can hear them say, bridge up! Somebody says bridge up.
I didn't catch that.
Oh. Yeah, so it probably was Angle that yelled it. He said, bridge up! So they both bridge up at that point. Angle spins Austin around into a backslide pin attempt. Angle grabs Austin for a belly-to-belly, but Austin punches his way out of it. Angle elbows Austin, and Austin rolls out of the ring. Angle follows him at that point, and Austin gets his head slammed into steps, into the announce booth, and then back into the ring. Austin gets the advantage, but gets rolled up by Kurt Angle after an attempted knee to the gut coming off of the ropes. Angle hits a gut-wrench suplex in the center of the ring, which is followed by a traditional suplex on and for a two count. So this is all just the first 5 minutes, so hell of a match kicking off here. Match's style is going to change soon from being technical to being more brawlish in a way. Austin does get a sleeper hold on Kurt, but Kurt runs in a little semicircle, which leads Austin to the ropes and sends Kurt Angle. No, I mean Austin, yeah. Austin had that sleeper hold on. So Kurt Angle is trying to like run out of it, and he gets close to the ropes, and Austin goes flying out of the ring. Nice little spot there. He loses his balance, falls out. They get back into the ring after that. Angle's going to work on an abdominal stretch. Austin breaks it with a hip toss and a snapmare takedown. Angle's going to get that abdominal stretch right back in again, which I always think that's weird in a match when they do something, and then they go right back to it after. It's almost like the spot was messed up a little bit. That's
how I take it. I interpret that as if the first attempt just either didn't go the way they wanted to, was a botch, and they're trying to do like a retake, per se.
Yep.
But, yeah, I agree.
That's how I saw it, too.
That's how I usually see those,
right?
You know, when those play out.
Because in this time, he's closer to the ropes than they were with the first abdominal stretch. So it seemed like they had to break the abdominal stretch so that they could reposition and get the abdominal stretch closer to the ropes, because that's when Kurt's going to grab the ropes for a leverage. You know, the classic heel style of doing the abdominal stretch. So it seems like they were setting up that, and they messed up the first time. And what we have here is Earl Hebner getting involved. He notices Kurt cheating. So Kurt gets his arms together like a double axe handle and then slams upward underneath Angle's arm to break Angle holding the rope. You can tell like Angle wants to fucking rip Earl's head off. And you don't see Kurt Angle look mean ever really. You know? You don't see like that mean streak. Even though he's a heel, he doesn't look like a heel.
No, not at all. Never. Even when he, at least right, I'm saying now, like he never.
Right, yeah. At that time.
He's like delusional. He, in his mind, he's not a heel. Right. We're all just crazy.
Right, exactly. So in this case, he looks like a heel. He looks pissed at Earl Hebner for doing that. So Earl sticks his finger in Angle's chest, which backs Angle up into a suplex attempt by Austin, but Angle flips over it. And Austin is still able to grab him, then slam his face into the corner post, which brings us to the part that you were mentioning, JV, where you thought maybe like the timing was off a little bit.
Yes.
And they're doing the 9, 10, whatever, the counting of the face bashes into the corner. And I like the spot because, again, it's like old school wrestling where you get the crowd chanting along. You just had that abdominal stretch spot where the guy's cheating. And now you have the crowd counting along. So it's all cool old school wrestling shit. It's like early 90s, 80s wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Austin pegs off Earl for trying to stop this. Austin slams Angle into the different corner post, the opposite corner post. And Kurt drops to the floor. So I like that because... And this may be why you're saying that it didn't make, they may have been on the wrong page. But I thought it kind of made sense because Austin gets to 9 and he's supposed to stop because he's not supposed to get to 10. So he gets to 9 and then he takes Kurt and slams him on the other corner post. Like, nah, this is a different, you know, you can't disqualify me because this is a different corner post. And then Angle falls out of the ring.
No, and I like the way it ends, but I mean like the first couple. Like 1 through 5.
Oh, maybe.
It was weird, but no, I liked how it ends where he kind of takes him to the other turnbuckle to finish it.
You know, but what?
I don't feel like Kurt Angle was on board with taking that at first. I don't know. It just didn't look right.
Maybe
it ended well, but it just didn't look right to start.
Maybe Angle never even seen that spot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You want me to do what?
Huh? Bang my head 10 times? What? What the fuck are you talking about? He's like, no, keep going. Keep doing it. Yeah, because maybe he never really watched wrestling. You know, somebody that's a wrestler is not usually a fan of watching, you know, what wrestlers would probably consider fake, you know?
Yep.
So he probably looked down upon it at first.
That's believable.
And then didn't even know of that late 80s, early 90s spot. Well, who knows? He might be a big wrestling fan. I just don't even know. And I'm sure he would just say that today anyway. Anyway, moving on. So, you have that spot there. And Austin slams Angle to the announce booth after they get onto the ringside area. Then the steps. Angle tries to get away. Austin brings him back into the ring. Nails the Luthez press. Gives him the punches. But Angle gets his leg up and rolls up Austin in a pin attempt, which I thought was cool. So, as Austin's pounding on him, Angle flips his legs up and rolls Austin up. Gets that 2 count. Austin avoids the pin. He goes right back at Kurt. Austin nails the spine buster for a 2 count. And then Stephanie McMahon heads down to the ring at this point, 1 hour, 33 minutes into the show. It's only 2 minutes left in the show. Austin pegs her off from the ropes. Kurt comes from behind with a roll up for a 2 count. Austin gets up and slugs Angle and then kicks him in the gut and nails the stunner. He's ready for the pin there, but Triple H shows up from the crowd, breaks up the count. Ref calls the match. It's a DQ. Triple H pounds away, so Triple H is back. He's not dead. Here he is. And it's not game over. Triple H is back. And the stipulation, though, because this is a DQ. Stipulation was, somebody interferes, then Angle should have lost the title. That doesn't happen here, but I have a few thoughts about what they could do here. First being that Mick Foley only meant Edge and Christian. That could be true. One. And the other thing that could happen is Triple H and Stephanie have part ownership in the company, storyline-wise. So they could overrule it. Say, no, he doesn't lose on a DQ. So anyway, the title doesn't change hands at this point. Triple H is just beating the shit out of him and stands over him at the end of the show. And Stephanie's looking down at him laughing. But I thought this match could have gone slightly different right at the end there. And when Stephanie comes down to the ring, when Austin pegs her off, I think that angle could have rolled him up and got the three count. Because he's the fucking champ. He's the world champ. Austin's only losing because of Stephanie by being distracted.
True.
And then right after Austin loses, he could be yelling at Stephanie, then Triple H nails him from behind and get the same shit happen. Except Austin takes a loss. Angle actually gets a win. That's something that he can use against Austin later. Say that he beat him 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring and build a feud from there. But backstage, Austin, he probably said, fuck that, I'm not getting pinned. Just have me get hit from behind.
Yeah, I mean, we know how protective Austin gets of his character.
Right.
And
he's just come back.
Over the next few years. So, and I think this is probably the start of him being worried. So he was out for a while. He's got all these big stars back.
That's true.
Well, not back, but just new stars debuting even, like Kurt Angle.
Right.
Who has, like, legitimacy behind him as being an Olympic gold medalist, and I don't know.
Right, you're right. Oh, so that's a good point. All right, so you have that, and there was one other thing. Angle tries to attack Austin there in this whole beatdown with Triple H, and Triple H just fucking shoves his ass out of the way. Get the hell out of here, Kurt Angle. I thought that was funny. But Stephanie does bring in a steel chair. That's one other thing I forgot to mention. Stephanie brings in the steel chair, and Triple H is going to use his new neck breaker, the Rude Awakening, and nails Austin on the chair. So I don't know if he's really moving away from the pedigree, trying something different for this period. And then obviously he goes back to the pedigree, but we haven't seen the pedigree in a while. And he's been using this move back to back. It's a neck breaker. So Triple H, the one good thing that he does is fucking whack Earl Hebner. Triple H tosses his ass to the side. And that's it. Like I said, we got Triple H and Stephanie standing over Stone Cold Steve Austin. So we'll have to see where this goes. And we'll be heading towards Armageddon on our next episode. So we'll wrap up November. We'll get into December. And there's two shows coming up back to back. There's Rebellion and then Armageddon. And next week, we'll get through basically the next 2 weeks or so leading up to Armageddon and give brief coverage of Rebellion. But the following week, we're going to potentially, it's in talks, that we're going to bring back Talking Taker to do a special episode with us for the following week. So in 2 weeks, we're going to potentially, they've already kind of agreed to it, but we're going to iron things out. Then we'll watch the final two matches of Rebellion, in which Undertaker takes on Chris Benoit. And that is the one match that Talking Taker has not covered, because at the time when they got to it, they didn't want to cover a Chris Benoit match on their show. So I figured, hey, come on our show and you can cover it. if you don't want it to your audience to hear it,
Yeah, that'd whatever, be cool. I hope we get this
So Alex says he can do it. He just needs to check with Travis, see if he's free to do it. So hopefully they can come along. We'll do that match, and then we'll do it's a Fatal 4-Way match with Kurt Angle, Triple H, Stone Cold, I think maybe Chris Benoit. No, not Chris Benoit. He's in the Undertaker match. Somebody else. I don't remember who. But that would be coming up in 2 weeks if that's on. If not, then it'll just be a regular episode. So that's what we have coming up, and we're going to take a quick little break, and you can listen to Alex and, well, actually it's just Alex. You can listen to Alex talk about Talking Taker And we'll be right back with our Attitude Era update.
What's up, Rattlesnakes? This is Alex Dorio, one half of the Talking Taker podcast. And even though Stone Cold might say DTA, don't trust anybody, we hope you'll trust us when we say if you love the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, you'll also enjoy what we're doing over on Talking Taker. Each week, my lifelong wrestling buddy and fellow creature of the night, Mr. Travis White, and I explore one pay-per-view match in the career of the greatest professional wrestling character of all time, The Undertaker. We're right in the heart of the Dead Man's second coming in the late 2000s. We've got over 125 episodes, so you can jump in from the beginning or pick and choose from some of your favorite moments, including every single Undertaker versus Stone Cold Steve Austin match analyzed in detail, including a great crossover episode with our buddies here at the Bottom Line Cast. You can listen to us wherever podcasts are found, and you can follow along our journey at Talking Taker on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks to Mike and JV for letting us plug the show, and take her easy.
All right, we're back now with the Attitude Era update for November of 2000. We're going to get right into that WWF Championship scene. And based on what we covered in the Austin portion of the show, we kind of know what's going on. Kurt Angle's the champion, and he's had a feud going on with The Undertaker. So that's where we begin. Kurt Angle against The Undertaker at Survivor Series from November 19th. What we got here is some funny stuff in the beginning here. This happens all on Survivor Series. Trish Stratus is trying to get assistance from Kurt Angle since she wants to help Kurt Angle out. She wants to provide him assistance because Stephanie is not around. And Kurt Angle is so oblivious to Trish hitting on him that he's like, no, I don't need any help. I don't need you. Like, dumbass, you're going to be banging her.
You idiot.
Yeah, we got a recap package. That's pretty damn good if you're going to go back and watch Survivor Series. Off of that, it's pretty cool. Undertaker saying that it's his yard and that, you know, Angle's standing in his yard and he's the big dog and Angle will be the first casualty of Dead Man Inc. And at this point, it's Taker's anniversary. It's 10 years of destruction. He made his debut at Survivor Series 90, and here it is, Survivor Series 2000. But I can't go without saying here, when he's telling Kurt Angle that it's his yard, can't help but think of the Boneyard match.
That's true.
Basically, you could just have Boneyard matches from now on with The Undertaker.
Yep.
Or Undertaker in just different scenarios where he's, I don't know, like fucking Dog the Bounty Hunter or something, like on the chase with somebody.
I bet Talking Taker can't wait to cover that.
Oh, they didn't even wait. They put out a mini episode immediately after Boneyard, after the Boneyard match. Right away, they didn't want to wait. They're like, "Oh, this is awesome!"
Oh shit, yeah. I can't blame them.
Oh, no shit. So anyway, we get to the match, and Undertaker comes out with these hideous fucking pants, and these are the talk of, you know, the internet wrestling community for years. These Undertaker pants, and the guys on Talking Taker, they even talk about this on their Survivor Series 2000 episode, and they just recently talked about it again too when they met The Undertaker this, you know, a few weeks back. And they first off, the pants, they're like snakeskin style pants, and the rumor was that Undertaker forgot his pants, so he had to borrow pants from the Godfather, who was the good father at this point, because there's a picture of Godfather at the time wearing like almost same exact pants. So this led many people to think that Undertaker was wearing Godfather's pants because he forgot his. So when Travis and Alex went to New York to meet the Undertaker, they also ran into Godfather, who was there making an appearance. And they asked him the question. They asked him if it was the Undertaker's pants. And he gave him an answer. He said, no. He said, Undertaker won't even fit in my pants. I'm bigger than the Undertaker.
Oh, no shit.
So I guess he's bigger, like, waist-wise, you know, and almost probably just his long legs, because fucking Papa Shango, Godfather, is huge.
Yeah.
So it's funny. He's like, nah, I'm bigger than him. He won't even fit in those pants. But,
and that myth gets debunked.
Yeah, it gets debunked. But it could be one of those things where they're never going to admit to it. Maybe they're just playing everybody. Like, no.
Yeah, that's true.
Because when the Undertaker's wearing these pants, they look pretty baggy. So they might be too big for him. But he had nothing else, so he had to go with them. And then he'll never wear these pants again. So it's a one-time shot where he's wearing these pants. So anyway, based on all that, I think Godfather's just covering for the Undertaker. And the Undertaker probably told him, never fucking tell anybody that I borrowed your pants. Because I forgot my own pants. So, funny story. All right, now we're into the match, and the Undertaker yells old school prior to doing the rope walk. So this might be the origin of using the term old school.
Oh, shit.
So it's a 10-year anniversary. So an Undertaker gets on the top rope, he yells, old school! And then does it. So that's got to be it. It's got to be where it started. So there it is. We solved the net. We solved that mystery too. And I think we asked Alex and Travis about this on one of the shows we were on with them.
I know I've been curious about it. Yeah. I think we've discussed it on this show too.
Right. I'm pretty sure we did ask them. I think maybe they even said that, but just not having watched it, I wouldn't have known what they really meant. like, oh yeah, that's what he meant. But you need to hear it for yourself sometimes. So anyway, Taker uses submission armbar. Edge and Christian are going to run down to distract Earl while Angle is tapping out. So Undertaker should win this match, win the title. Taker gets hit with the choke. Yeah, Taker gets hits the choke slam rather. But Earl Hebner is distracted by Edge and Christian. So even the Undertaker is getting screwed by Earl Hebner. Angle crawls underneath the ring. So this is a cool little spot. I don't know. Did you bother to watch much of the Survivor Series stuff?
No, I didn't.
No. All right. So Angle crawls underneath the ring. Taker pulls him out from underneath. Brings Angle back into the ring. Hits the last ride. Earl Hebner stops counting at 2. Seemingly for no reason. Angle's out cold. But now it's another Survivor Series screw job. Kurt Angle, the real Kurt Angle, runs in from the other side of the ring, rolls up the Undertaker for the 3 count, and now you have 2 Kurts, just like the 2 doink gimmick. And it was Kurt Angle's brother, Eric
Angle, right?
Yeah, that's Eric, right. Angle. Yeah. And the crowd was fucking shocked, and they both just left off like thieves in the night, running off with the belt, screwing the Undertaker. Undertaker's not going to be happy about that shit. Alright, so we move on now to Raw 391. Kurt Angle cuts that promo. He says, you know, screwy things happen in Survivor Series, and, you know, this year, it didn't get screwed. Champion didn't get screwed. Which is so great because, yeah, there still was a screw job. You just orchestrated it. But he's saying, oh, all the champions get screwed the past few years at Survivor Series, but not me. So Kurt introduces his brother Eric. Kurt says that Eric hit under the ring as a surprise for him. So after the match, when he retained that, he'd come out and it'd be a nice surprise to see his brother. Kurt Angle asks the Undertaker what his problem is. Undertaker comes down to the ring, takes off his hat and sunglasses at the top of the ramp, heads down, and kicks the shit out of Eric Angle. Taker punches Kurt out of the ring. Taker chokeslams Kurt off the ramp and through a table. Right off that fucking big ramp and then on through a table. Then right after that, Taker, very cool, gets his sunglasses and his hat, puts it back on like a badass, walks off. See, I like Undertaker now because of that Boneyard match.
Yeah.
Undertaker's all of a cool sudden. Now.
Yeah. Dead Man Ink has a ring to it.
Yeah. So Mick says, you know, why should he do anything for Undertaker? Because, you know, you put me through the cage, the Hell in a Cell. So Mick's like, why should I help you do anything? And then Undertaker's like, why, what have you, kind of like, I made you basically by putting you through that Hell in a Cell. So that's why you should be helping me. You're famous now because of it. So he wants a match with Edge and Christian. Edge and Christian have the Undertaker's old urn and want to give it to him as a surprise. And Undertaker gets a card from them, too. They write a card that says, Dear Undertaker, for your decade of awesomeness, you totally rule. Edge and Christian. And along with the urn. So Undertaker tosses that shit in the trash. He has a handicap match against Edge and Christian. And he kicks their ass, basically. So anyway, we move on to another promo for SmackDown 66, 11/23/2000. It's another exchange between Kurt Angle and The Undertaker. Kurt Angle's basically just saying, you know, you're the sore loser of the year. You think you're so spiffy. You think you're so cool with your spiffy bike and your scary tattoos. And then Undertaker comes out, tells him to shut his mouth. Undertaker starts to pound away on him. And that just continues on. So you got more of that. And like I talked about earlier, Undertaker is going to have a match with Kane because Kurt Angle kind of orchestrated that also so that Undertaker wouldn't have a match with Kurt Angle, but he ended up with Austin instead. So ongoing there, in a sense, you know, Undertaker and Kurt Angle, even though they had their match, it's now getting worse because Undertaker was screwed by him. And then from there, we move on to the Radicals in the IC title scene. At Survivor Series, you had the Radicals against Billy Gunn, Road Dogg, Kate Quick, and Chyna. And Kate Quick is fucking awesome.
Yeah, he was. The moves he's still awesome now.
Yeah. But the shit he was doing back then, nobody else was doing. All these flips and cartwheels and, you know, cool shit. Just very quick, too. And that explains the name, Kate Quick. So what you have here, basically, is the Radicals winning the Survivor Series style match. And on the next night on Raw, the Radicals again go up against Billy Gunn, Road Dogg, and Kate Quick. Billy Gunn hits the Famouser on Saturn, and Kate Quick hits him with a sweet splash, like a fucking, I don't even know how many degrees it is. It felt like he was flipping like 10 times, then lands on him perfectly to pin Saturn. So good, he's doing good shit. He's getting pinfalls. So they're trying to push Kate Quick here. And then on SmackDown 66 from 11/23, you have IC title match, Eddie Guerrero versus Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn actually wins the championship here in a decent match. So that's worth going back to check out. Billy Gunn gets the 3 count, becomes the new Intercontinental Champion. So here we go again. Billy Gunn's getting another push. And they're going to put the gold on him, see what can happen this time with him. So this kind of makes sense because Eddie was having a rivalry with Billy Gunn because of Chyna, that whole breakup. So Eddie starts to flip out in the backstage after the match. He wants a rematch. He gets that rematch on Raw 392. Malenko gets involved midway through this match. Eddie gets slammed into Malenko, then dropped by Billy Gunn's finisher, which is not the Famaster, something else that he uses. It's like a shitty suplex. I don't even know how to explain it. It's just some kind of suplex. Billy Gunn retains the title there.
Like a backyard suplex. Don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, it's kind of like he picks him up and then just drops him back like flapjack. Yeah, it's stupid. Anyway, he gets the pin there, and then he gets his ass kicked by the Radicals after. The Radicals are backstage later on this episode. Actually, on Raw 392 from November 27th. Radicals are backstage, and Dean Malenko's hitting on Lita. Lita basically tells him to go jerk off and leave her alone. Literally, that's what she's saying. Like, you use your hand, occupy your hand with something. So we get that little, you know, 2000 type style joke. But then Chris Benoit busts through the door, nails Lita, knocks her out with the door. Just after just watching the documentary about Chris Benoit, and then, you know, seeing this, he just slams the door into a girl, and then he looks up, he's like, hey, it's just another broad. It's the fucking rockin' rebel of WWF.
Yeah, no shit, right?
So the Hardys come to help Lita, but the Radicals beat them down. They have a match. It's going to be the Radicals, Benoit, Saturn, and Malenko against the Hardy Boys and a mystery partner. The mystery partner ends up being Chris Jericho. Pretty good match. Jericho gets the Walls for Jericho on Malenko for the win. Eddie Guerrero runs in after the match to attack Jericho. Jericho gets the Walls on Eddie. Benoit breaks it and gets the crippled crossface on Jericho. Then Eddie frog splashes Jeff Hardy. So the Radicals lost the match, but they come out dominant at the end of the match. So that's what's going on with the IC title scene and the Radicals. And then on to the Rock and Rikishi story. You have at Survivor Series, The Rock versus Rikishi. Rock gets the win, but after the match, Rikishi's going to get his revenge. He attacks The Rock with a savate kick, drops 3 bonsai drops on him. And the first thing I thought was, oh, I guess this feud has to continue now. You know, he could have just ended this here. They're still building up Rikishi. Now, Rikishi beats up the refs. Rikishi goes for another bonsai drop. So you have a beaten down Rock here at Survivor Series. And then the next night on Raw, The Rock and Chris Jericho team up against Rikishi and Kane. You get good teamwork between Rock and Jericho. I guess you could call him Jer-Rock. Jer-Rock, which fits Jericho because he's a rock star.
Yep.
So the Rock hits the Rock Bottom and gets the sharpshooter on Rikishi. At the same time, Jericho has the Walls of Jericho on Kane. The refs try to break it up, but The Rock and Jericho continue to beat on Kane and Rikishi throughout, you know, as this ends here. So Rock and Jericho come out victorious there. Now The Rock is going to be thrown into a small little storyline with William Regal. William Regal's doing his thing. He's out there talking shit about America, talking shit about Thanksgiving. And then The Rock comes out, gives him a history lesson about Thanksgiving, because it's Thanksgiving Day, actually, with this SmackDown is airing. And he says, you know, the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock. Of course he has to say that. So The Rock challenges Regal to a match. And during this match, Rikishi comes down and watches the whole match from the ramp. He's out there with his fat wear that we mentioned. The Rikishi fat wear. The Rock wins the match with the sharpshooter. The hell is this? Why are people trying these new stupid moves to be their finishers? Triple H is doing a fucking neck breaker. The Rock's doing a sharpshooter.
Who never does a good sharpshooter.
Right, sucks.
Ever.
Ugh.
It's half-ass.
Right. It's like he's sitting over the toilet without... He's like, you know what I mean? Like the way his legs are, it's like he's hovering over the toilet.
He's using a fucking rest stop toilet.
Yeah. Exactly. So The Rock tells Rikishi to bring it. Rikishi walks backwards, leaves, laughs like, not right now. Regal gets up, says he's still the champ. I'm still the champ because it's a non-title match. He's a European champion. So The Rock comes up from behind him, hits him with the Rock Bottom. And then we get to that number one contenders match that I brought up during the Austin portion of the show, The Rock versus Rikishi. And I pretty much covered it already. So you get a DQ. Angle and Edge and Christian come down. Mick flips out and makes Kurt Angle be in the match against Austin. And he says if Edge and Christian interfere, Kurt will be suspended for up to 90 days and lose his title. We know all that already. That doesn't happen. So The Rock does become the number one contender here during this match. So it'll be The Rock versus Kurt Angle at Armageddon. In the tag team title scene, we still have fucking Right the Censor as the champs. And that's kind of all I can say about that. The Right the Censor is the champs. They're going up against the Dudley Boys, and they have some matches there.
And isn't Ivory the women's champ too, right?
Yeah, Ivory is the women's champ.
Like all three titles on the line or something at the same time? Not all three. I guess all two.
Is that him?
I forget.
I think we already covered that. Yeah.
No, we did. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's, I think we covered it last week.
Yeah.
And that's why they're champs still.
Right. Yeah, so they retained last time we talked about it, they had retained there. Yep, you're right. So they continue to pull out ways to keep the titles. They have a good match with the Dudley Boys. Dudley Boys had earned the title shot. But the match ends in a DQ. Dudley Boyz beat up Stevie Richards after the match and smash him through a table. Ivory has a match with Lita. And Ivory's wrestling in like long-ass skirts and high heels. Just looked ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Ivory retains the title after Lita takes her shirt off and goes for a moonsault but misses. So that's at Survivor Series, that women's championship match. And then we move on to another women's championship match the next night on Raw. And this match was actually pretty good. It's Ivory versus Molly Holly. And Ivory's now wearing pants and wrestling boots. So she must have thought, fuck that shit. I'm not wearing that. It's so uncomfortable. Can't wrestle in that shit.
Yeah, uncomfortable. And you have to worry about getting hurt. Like, right. It's just not natural.
All right, so she's wearing pants and boots now, wrestling boots. So Trish does a run-in on Molly Holly. The ref gets distracted. Ivory pins Molly for the win. And like I said, Molly Holly is impressive in this match. She should be a fucking women's champion. She's the best woman wrestler there right now, I think. All right, and then at Survivor Series, you also had Jericho versus Kane, that ongoing feud. And it continues after this, so this doesn't settle anything. So, not much to say there. Kane does win the match, and I believe he should have won the match because Jericho was the whole asshole in this storyline. So, let Kane get some payback on him. And that's exactly what they did, so that's good booking to me. The APA is still under the control of Testin Albert. But JR finally gives reference to what happened to APA, and apparently they were hospitalized by Testin and Albert, and that's why they've been missing. That probably happened, and I didn't care about it. So that's why I didn't make note of it, I guess. It must have just got by me. So APA apparently got beat up, and that's why they've been gone. But, I mean, that's a kayfabe reason. They probably did something stupid that got them in trouble for a little while.
Stupid off-road.
Right. Yeah, getting pulled over drinking and driving or something.
Yeah.
All right, so Molly Holly wins this match. It's going to be Crash at Survivor Series. It's Crash Holly, Molly Holly, Steve Blackman against Test, Albert, and Trish. Molly Holly gets the win there over Trish Stratus. And like I said, she was good in the women's match for the title. She's good in this match at Survivor Series. So just solid all around Molly Holly. She also has a good match against Trish Stratus on SmackDown 66 from November 23rd. But she wins with a hell of a flip splash. I don't even know what to call it. Flip splash, whatever that is. There's a nice splash from the top rope where she flips. Kind of like a somersault, really, is what she does. And it looks fucking awesome. So again, that's on SmackDown from November 23rd. And then kind of wraps it up. There was one funny part on SmackDown from the Thanksgiving episode, November 23rd.
The food fight?
Yeah, the food fight.
Yeah, I like that. That was cool.
Yeah. So throughout the night, they're showing segments of Mick Foley and Deborah and the guests are rolling in, sitting down, hanging out. It leads to a food fight. Mick Foley's making dad jokes throughout the entire thing, which I like dad jokes, but that's what we're getting from him. And then we get to the part where Deborah asks if anybody would like a piece of her pie. So obviously all the guys start laughing. Al Snow comes up and says, "Is that a trick question?" And then Funaki says, "Excuse me, much like pie." Much like pie. And then everybody starts cracking up. Yeah. But then the shit hits the fan when Tiger Ali Singh and Lowdown, Chaz and D'Lo show up, and Tiger throws Deborah's pie, but it hits Steve Blackman in the face. Then that starts a crazy food fight. So that's a typical WWF thing to do, is to have a food fight during Thanksgiving. And hey, it's a holiday. It's basically a holiday episode. It's not supposed to be serious. And they have their food fight. So funny parts there. And then the next Raw, this feud's going to continue. Steve Blackman and Tiger Ali Singh. Steve Blackman kicks the shit out of him. And he takes his turban. So Steve Blackman takes the turban off Tiger Ali's head and then puts it on. And then JR has a great line because of how like boring Steve Blackman is. Yeah, JR
that's
says,
what he's known for.
Right, so Steve Blackman has Disturbing on his head. JR says, hey, a new gimmick. Like, hey, put the turban on his head. Maybe that can give him some character.
Beats his black karate pants.
Yeah.
And Wall Street haircut.
Right. All right, so that kind of wraps things up here with the Attitude Era update. So let's now get into our wrap-up, our bottom line wrap-up. And we do have some house show rundown. So let me just get into it. It's only a couple of dates because we didn't cover a whole large area of time here. You know, a large span of time. So we only got two shows. It's November 25th in Chicago, Illinois. It's Steve Austin and The Undertaker teaming up to defeat Chris Benoit and Rikishi after Austin hits the stunner on Chris Benoit. And then the next night in Omaha, Nebraska, you get the same exact thing. Undertaker and Austin teaming up to defeat Rikishi and Benoit. All right, so that's the house show rundown. Oh, hell yeah! Let's see what our oh, hell yeah moment of the week is. JV, what do you got?
Say, oh, hell no, or oh, hell yeah?
Oh, hell yeah.
No, oh, hell yeah has got to be, for me, is the end of the Survivor Series match.
That's your oh, hell yeah?
Yeah, it's got to be.
The forklift shit?
Yeah.
Oh,
I thought that was awesome. Stone Cold talking shit while Triple H is practically screaming for his life. I just thought it was, like, brilliant. Yeah, I mean, I don't give WWE a lot of credit usually for their booking, but that was actually really good booking and a way to kind of bring the story full circle.
Yeah. I guess I can see your point.
But I liked it.
It's funny.
Yeah. I don't know if it's, like I said at the start, I don't know if it's because of the Boneyard shit.
Yeah.
And like, it just kind of like brought me back to that. I don't know, maybe I feel differently if I didn't just watch WrestleMania 36 and
yeah, I took my notes.
Appreciate like the corniness and over the topness that it was.
Yeah, I took my notes on it before WrestleMania. <That's> I had a different view, but now talking to you on this episode about it, it kind of swayed me. I actually had it as an oh hell no, but I can come up with another oh hell no because I am kind of shifted away from it. I do like it now. You talked me into it. I think the only thing that I didn't like about it was just like how shitty the mic was. Triple H.
Yeah. Hey, it was 2000.
Yeah,
tech wasn't like it is today.
That's true. All right. Well, my oh hell yeah moment of the week is going to be a combined moment. It's not just one moment. It's a combination here, and that's Austin wrestling. Wrestling Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle. The mat wrestling portions. That was oh hell yeah to me. That was the heart of this episode. It's like, oh, Austin's back and he's wrestling now.
He's proven himself again.
Yeah.
All these new faces on the roster.
Yep. Oh hell no. All right, so I kinda said my oh hell no, but if I can think of one, I'll switch it. But as of right now, my oh hell no was the forklift segment with Chris Benoit out there, I don't know, and running around with his little legs.
He's so oddly shaped. My oh hell no, though, is Seth McMahon's apology to Star Raw 391. I couldn't even get
that. Oh, yeah.
It was fucking brutal. It was so bad.
That was rough. Yeah, that's right. You fast-forwarded through that.
Yeah, I did. I don't know how long that was, but I hit the forward 10-second button five times.
It was pretty lengthy.
I missed a good minute.
Oh, you probably should have missed more.
I might have. Not counting the zone out, I probably did while watching it and complaining in my head about how boring this is. Then seeing your timestamp of 11:40, I'm like, oh, all right, I'm close.
You're almost there. All right, so I'm not going to change mine. I'll just stick with what I thought originally, but I do have to say you kind of swayed me away a little bit from it. So it's kind of a... hell no. I'm not quite sure of it. Anyway, so we'll move on. And next week, guys, like I said, at the halfway point, we'll be back with episode 69, which is covering early December leading up to Armageddon. Okay, so that'll be coming up next week. And then possibly the following week, we might have a watch-along episode with guys from Talking Taker for Rebellion, the UK special pay-per-view, in the final two matches of that show. And with that said, let's do our podcast plugs here for our podcast pals. And that's Talking Taker, our number one pal there. And this week on Talking Taker is episode 139, and it's Undertaker versus Edge. And I feel like it's been 5 episodes that they've covered Undertaker versus Edge. But this match is a table at his chairs match from One Night Stand in June of 2008. So check that out. Their episodes come out on Fridays. It's Talking Taker, and they're at Talking Taker on Twitter. So check out Alex and Travis. Damn good show. Also, check out Booking the Territory, the unprofessional wrestling podcast with Mike Mills, Hardbody Hopper, and Doc Turner, where these guys cover NWA and Smoky Mountain Wrestling. On Thursdays, they release a recap review show of NWA WCW World Championship Wrestling. From this week's episode, it's going to be December 10th, 1988. Then on Sunday, on their Smoky Mountain Wrestling show, they are on episode 190 from September 16th, 1995. So check that out. Also, check out our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. And this week, just on Mondays, they dropped their episodes on Monday. So this past Monday, they released episode 171, and this is the beginning of a new season. So they have a new opening segment, and it's called Fresh Perspectives. And in this segment, they're going to reconsider what they once had a view on. So if they hated something and now they look back at it and have changed their mind about it over time, that'll be the topic. Or if it's something they liked when they were younger, but now they look back at it and it sucks, that's what that segment's all about. So in this first week of it, their fresh perspective is going to be on Honky Tonk Man and how they now get it and they appreciate it more than they did when they were younger and how they hated him, but now they like him. And that's Honky Tonk Man. In their Royal Ranking segment, they're starting off fresh. It's a new topic. They're going to rank based on the votes from the listeners. In this week one, they're doing WWF Tag Team Champions. So they're going to rank the best top 10 and the bottom 10 tag team champions, or the worst 10 tag team champions. So it's not just any tag team, and they have to be champions in the WWF. And then they also do a review in the third part of the show on WWF Action Zone from April 16, 1995. Some shitty wrestling back in 1995. It's like, first thing that pops in my mind is King Mabel in 1995. Ugh. Man on a Mission, Doink the Clown.
Funny.
Shit like that. Also, check out our friend Jay Free at Free Your Geek for all things pop culture. So, great little show there. Check it out, Free Your Geek. And also, Jay Free will be coming back. He's been on our show before, and he'll be coming back to do a Stone Cold Top 5 special for 1999 and 2000, and that'll be sometime next month. So, check his show out, and then also, of course, you know, listen, look out for him to be on our show soon. And then with that said, JV and I do another show on the Booking the Territory Patreon feed, the $5 tier. So that's called the Extreme ECW Livecast, where JV and I watch every episode of Eastern Championship Wrestling. We started April of 1993, and now we're currently at February 15th and 22nd of 1994. So it's our 21st episode. We've done 3 specials. This is episode 21, and we're covering Hardcore TV episodes 44 and 45. Those episodes come out every Wednesday bi-weekly, and you have to subscribe to Booking the Territory Patreon, $5 tier, to get those episodes. So consider that, at least for a month. Check it out. I also haven't said it in a while, but if you guys can give us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, as some people still call it, give us a 5-star review, tell us what you like. You know, that helps out. And, you know, even if it, just give 5 stars. Even if, you know, they're really 3 stars. Just give us 5 stars. And if you really want to, tell us what you don't like about it, but give us 5 stars anyway. All right. Just be a sport. All right. So with that said, JV, anything else?
No.
All right, guys. So we'll be back next week. Episode 69. I'm Mike Prue, along with JV. We are out of here. So long.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Cause you're the next one, the number of the kill. You don't believe it, but I'm betting that you will. Stop, no! I'll let you live a little bit with the pain that I bring. You know it's only the beginning. Stop breaking the beginning.
Yeah.